Hi, this is Andy Olson, and you are listening to Radio Free Phoenix, and we have a music and interview special with JoJo Foote. He's from California. He grew up in San Francisco. We have him on the phone right now. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm great, Andy. How you doing?
Doing good. Now, you came to my attention through our John Kirk Doritos, who I guess you guys both went to the same high school.
Yeah, we did. I didn't know John specifically, but I was a few years before him, but I do know some people he knew, so it kind of came full circle when he reached out to me through a mutual friend.
Yeah, back in high school, 2 years was like a distance, it seems, you know? Now, no such distance.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, kind of, but yeah, just didn't have many classes. I remember the name, but that's about it.
Oh, okay. So,
and I know John now, and we're, of course, very friendly, so
okay.
It's all good.
Well, he brought to our attention your music, and we started playing it late last year. We played Bloom of a Rose, and that was the first song we heard from you. Give me a little history on that song, if you can.
Yeah, that song I wrote towards the early part of 2023, and I took it to Nashville, which a lot of these songs were recorded in Nashville, actually.
Okay.
And a friend of mine was talking about their daughter who had fallen into drug addiction, and it was sort of kind of an answer to getting out of that, or wishfully getting out of it, wanting them to come home and things like that. So it sort of spiraled into that song, and I used that sort of starting point just to kind of give me some sort of a synopsis of the song, what it would be about, because I like to do that when I write. It's tough for me to just pick up things out of thin air. Some people are really good at that lyrically, but I like to have kind of a underlining story to kind of tell and maybe sort of give my spin on it. But anyway, that's what it was about. It's sort of about a friend who's going to a daughter that had a serious drug addiction and was coming in and out of it all the time of rehab. And so I kind of wrote it. I guess it would be like her words as a mother's word to a daughter, but trying to be a little more vague about it too.
Sunset, sinking into darkness, new day ahead seems kind of useless, but if you close your eyes you can see how it used to be. Remember how we take the past for granted but never leave each other empty-handed. I couldn't ask for anything more, like never before.
This is Radio Free Phoenix. Andy Olson here. Jojo Foote is with us. We're talking with him about his music, and we heard Bloom of a Rose. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your career. How'd you get started, and when was it?
Well, I mean, if I go way back in time, you know, the desire to be a musician goes back to me from the time I was probably 5 or 6 years old. I just, you know, was very, I had older brothers that played guitar. Mm-hmm. So I was always interested in music. As far as, you know, choosing it as a career, probably from the age of 13, wanting it anyway. I wouldn't call it the ideal career in many ways, but nonetheless, I was in various bands in the Bay Area. I was the bass player in the band called The Singles, and we had won some contests and whatnot, and played all over Santa Cruz, South Bay, that area, and down to L.A. a few times, too. Played the Viper Room and places like that. So, and that was kind of my start into, like, really taking it more seriously. So after that, I went to England for a while and trying to make it there and met some really great people, but I never really got the career I wanted over there. So I came back to California. And then one of the members from that pop band, The Singles, I formed a band called The Missionaries, kind of an alternative rock band. You know, we did one record on Reality Records. We were being courted by MCA at the time, and, you know, we moved from San Francisco to L.A. around that time. It was probably first real serious offers we were starting to get was from within that band, within that group. And I was the bass player and co-writer of all our songs with a guy named Zane Smith, who's still good friends with to this very day. That turned into sort of like, well, MCA, we met with them and they wanted to sign us, but they also wanted to hold our material and release it whenever they felt like releasing it.
Okay.
So it was one of those deals that didn't look, it looked great. You know, when you're starting out, you think, oh, this is great. You know, it's a major label wants to sign you and this is great. But then it turns out, well, we're not really going to give you a lot of money and we're going to hold your masters until we find the right time to release it. And we can do that up to 6 years. And we thought, not good. So then this other label came along. They were an independent label at the time called Reality Records. I think they're still around, actually. And they had some pretty cool people on their roster. And the head of that company had heard us on, I think he heard us on KLOS radio. They played us down there. He really dug it. He happened to go by the studio where we recorded because he had a mutual friend there. Long story short, he talked to them. Who's that band? I see their picture on the wall here. Oh, yeah, I'm their producer, and his name was Eddie Ashworth, and he's produced people like Sublime and, you know, a lot of the hair bands from the 80s as well, and Dokken and, you know, people like that, Great White. Anyway, he introduced this guy, and this guy called us and said, hey, I want to release your record, and we did a little tour with it and didn't make much money off of it, got a little bit of opening slots for some bands, but nothing too spectacular. And then that band split up.
What was that song that got a little bit of airplay that you had?
Well, there was a couple, actually. I would say the one that got the most airplay was a song called Throw Me a Line. But there was a few that they played. I'm trying to think. There was that song, a song called Oasis. We did a video for that. We added a guitar player at that point in time, our lead guitar player, I should say. So we replaced him with the a guy named Nick Lashley, who went on to play with Alanis Morissette.
Let's hear some of that music now here. This is Throw Me a Line from Jojo Foote's earlier band, The Missionaries, on Radio Free Phoenix.
out your leather bag of feathers. Put on your snakeskin tooth. We're gonna eat ourselves some little purple flowers and let the desert speak its truth. I'm looking for you on the lowlands with my wounded coyote crawl. And I'm so thirsty that I'm aching. I'm a howling dog, you're a waterfall. Don't send the rainmaker down. I got oceans of love under a big sun with no shelter. As far as I can see, one step back into history, yeah. The poison berries that we crush to paint our skins. And someday soon we'll roll in a moonlight sanctuary, and I'll be drinking from your lips again. Don't send rainmaker down. I got oceans of love. I'm a howling dog, you're a waterfall. She never brings me down. She never brings me down, yeah. She never brings me down. She never brings me down.
That's a couple songs on Radio Free Phoenix with JoJo Foot. He's in the studio, and that was an earlier band that he had called The Missionaries. And you just recorded some music with Jeff Trott, and he has quite the history, huh?
That's right, yeah. I was going to do a recording in L.A. I was going to go back. I just sort of got back into doing writing and doing my solo work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I had reached out to Jeff and asked if he would like to produce me. Jeff and I go back years. And first off, let me explain. I bumped into Jeff in L.A. in the early 90s. Right before Sheryl Crow, he played with Tears for Fears, and then he was playing mm-hmm. with Pete Droege.
Okay.
I don't know if your listeners are familiar with him, but Pete had a couple of hits out and did some pretty big tours. And Jeff was the guitar player in his band. So I happened to be in this club in L.A., and Pete and his band were playing this show just kind of in this little club on, I think it was on Pico in L.A. I can't even remember the name of the place. I don't even think it exists anymore. Maybe it was a Dragonfly. But anyway, I went to use the restroom, and I'm coming out of the restroom just as Jeff Trott's walking in. And I said, oh, Jeff Trott, you know, something to that effect. And he says, oh, hey, Joe, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And we started to kind of like reconnect. And what are you doing? And I had just come off a tour with the folk singer, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
She was on Island Records. She was kind of famous. She did an opening tour with Morrissey back in the day when he was huge. And she was the opening act. Anyway, oh, let's catch up. And we sat at the bar and had a beer and chatted. And I was going to do a session with this Irish singer, Anne-Marie Cullen, who is from Saucy Monkey, the band in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in L.A. I asked him, hey, it'd be great to get you in on this session. I'm working with this Irish singer, and we could use a slide guitar on this particular song we're doing. Would you be into doing that? And he goes, yeah, I think so. Yeah, we scheduled times and dates and all that stuff, and it worked into our schedules. So he came down and played that session with me. So anyway, fast forward, he's gone on to his career with Sheryl Crow, and everything's going great. And then I recently started to write some solo stuff. And Jeff and I had been in touch. And I sent a demo out to some friends, including him. Just kind of like, hey, guys, just my little inner circle. I just did this little home demo of a song. What do you think of it? I just would like to get some honest feedback from some of my peers, you know. And they all contacted back, you know, all positive. And then Jeff sent email back to me saying, hey, this is really good. You know, you just need a little more echo on your voice, or cut down on the cymbals on the drum a little bit here and there. But other than that, it sounds really good. And I just kind of respond, well, you know, thanks for the pointers. You know, I'll take that into account. He goes, that can actually help you do that. If you just want to send me the stems to my place out here in Nashville, I'll mold that vocal for you really nice. And I said, sure. Okay, great. So he did that for me. And that kind of got us into thinking, you know, about working together, I guess, on some original material. So I had asked him, I said, well, I have some more songs I want to record. It'd be great if you just produce me. Would you be into coming out to L.A.? And he said, better yet, why don't you come to Nashville and do it? And you can stay with me, and I'll get some of Sheryl's musicians to play on it. And we got, you know, Billy Justino on keyboards. He was playing with Eric Church, and he's one of the best in Nashville on keyboards. Mm-hmm. And we got, like, Rob McNally, who was, like, Nashville's top session guitar player, and all these great players, you know. So I said, that sounds like a no-brainer to me. Rather than have Jeff come out and have to assemble all the musicians out here, I'll just go out there. I'd be the only one to have to travel. So I flew out there and showed him some songs I had. You know, before I flew out, I exchanged the ideas, what I was thinking of recording, and then he gave his notes and stuff. And then so we went out there with a plan, and we recorded a single out there, which was Shattered Glass, and another song was Another Face. So we did those two songs out there, and that kind of got the whole ball rolling. And then I got to know the musicians out there, and then we did another session subsequently after that, and one after that, and next thing you know, we're doing all my latest recordings in Nashville.
Aye, okay. Well, you sent out one of the songs a few months ago, you along with Jeff, Temporary All-Stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a song we did together. Andrew Petroff, I would say, kind of co-produced it. He did a lot of the programming and stuff like that. Another really great producer in Nashville. I had this title, Temporary All-Stars, and Jeff said, oh, that's a really good title. You know, do you have any lyrics for that? I said, no, I haven't even really written it. It's just a good idea. And he goes, well, why don't you pick up your guitar and we'll just riff a little bit. And so I just started riffing on this little verse section. And then he started kind of like, oh, I got a line for this, a line for that, adding things here and there. And then I would answer some of the lines with words I had. And before you knew it, after about 4 hours, we had a song ready to go. It was kind of cool. It was very organic the way that song came about. And so I released that as a feature with Jeff Trott because I figured it was me performing it, but I wanted people kind of to know that, you know, Jeff co-wrote that song. You know, he didn't just produce it, he co-wrote it.
Trash. My call. Instead, I get AI on the phone. I keep trying, but nobody's home. Short circuit and my fuse is blown. We're temporary all-stars. We come and go.
This is Radio Free Phoenix. We have JoJo Foote with us here and a song he co-wrote with Jeff Trott, Temporary All-Stars. You know, Jeff seems to show up in all sorts of different places. I did an interview a few months ago with a guy named Max Gomez from New Mexico, and looking deeply into his first album, Jeff was all over it.
He's quite the guy out there, and he's worked with so many people, there would be just too many to name right now, just to illustrate how much of an important figure he is in that scene out there as far as producing and co-writing especially. He's really, really sought after, as it turns out. I don't know why he picked me, but, you know. But no, he's been really, really great to work with.
You had another song, I think, that just came to our attention. Muddy River, yeah.
Muddy River, yeah.
What's the story behind that one?
Okay, that's kind of an interesting. I was watching a documentary about Warren Jeffs. I don't know if you know who he is, but yeah. I figured you would.
In Arizona, you couldn't get away from it because they did the whole exposure. TV stations, you know.
And it was really an interesting documentary, and I sort of wrote it loosely based on him. I mean, in what he was, tragic what he did to some of these people. And so Muddy River was sort of like that don't wash my sins in your muddy river. You know, you've already mucked it up so bad that you were not somebody I would really want to put my faith in, or have faith in someone like that. And just I use that as a vehicle for writing the song. And it's sort of a, you know, sort of twisted in a way where, you know, some of the lines, I'm speaking from different perspectives. Some of it's from a third person perspective, and others it's from a victim's perspective, and some of it's from someone who is taken in by someone like that so foolishly and not realizing that he's the devil incarnate.
That is Jojo Foote, new music from him, Muddy Rivers, song loosely based on Warren Jeffs. You know, that whole Colorado City thing was spearheaded by a local reporter here in Phoenix named Mike Watkus, and he was on it for several years before everything broke wide open on that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was terrible, but like I said, I didn't want to be too obvious about the song. Mm-hmm. I never mentioned his name, or I didn't do anything like that. I didn't want to give any kind of light to that, but, you know, again, when I hear something or read a story about something, sometimes it turns into a really good song. And I don't want to be confused with it in any way, you know, glorifying him or his actions. It's not that at all. It's very, well, I mean, you know, those who listen to it can kind of read between the lines. But as I said, it comes from different perspectives. And I like to do that too in some of my songs. I like to write from, you know, there's people that'll write third party songs all the time and just mm-hmm. be completely third party. I sometimes like to take one verse as third party, the second verse is from my perspective or from another perspectives, you know.
Yeah, they used to they used to call that kind of music topical songs, you know, back in the old rock days, you know.
Exactly. And it's sort of like that. I mean, it's just it makes it a little bit more interesting. Sometimes it can be confusing because what's he saying here? You know, now it's but you know, it's just it gives it more of an interest. It gives it a more interesting vibe.
Yeah, take me to your leader. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's another song you just sent us. It's called Plain Sight. Thought we would roll that on. What's going on with that song?
Plain Sight, another one I recorded in Nashville with Jeff, as I've said. This song was written in 2023, kind of the climate, the political climate, and generally speaking, I just think people were not communicating very well with one another, and I was tired of it. I was just so tired of getting pushed and pulled, and you know, I've got family members, my in-laws are hardened Republicans, and I came from a very open-minded liberal family, and I kind of consider myself more independent these days just because I'm just tired of the rhetoric on both sides of the political spectrum. So I kind of like to just be around, hide in plain sight, as they say. I'm out there in the public, I'm not hiding personally. Mm-hmm. But as far as what's going on, I got tired of being opinionated and wanting to say, so, you know, I have my opinions and I'll speak about them in more private settings, but I didn't want to just be the voice of some kind of movement. I just became so disillusioned with people's attitudes. It was just like, you know, I remember when people used to disagree, but they could go out and have a beer together and still get along on other aspects.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And in my business, especially if you go out to Nashville, you'll meet people that are, you know, you got to be careful what you say about, you know, there's very conservative approaches out there and there's a very liberal approach. So I kind of put myself more in the middle of that, and I just realized that they don't really have to know what I believe or what I don't believe. And I don't hate anybody. I don't have any kind of like, I'm not going to go up with someone wearing a MAGA hat and tear it off their head and go crazy on them. And nor am I going to go crazy on someone who's attacking, you know, Kamala Harris during the last election. I wouldn't, you know, go and attack her or anything like that. So plain sight was just like, it's getting hard to hide in plain sight these days. It's just, everybody wants my opinion. Everybody wants to, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And treat people nice and not be judgmental, and they're going to be fine.
Get out while you still can. Get out while you still can. Hey, what's your game? Don't want to play that way. I've got you figured out head to toe. Can't say what's on my mind. You'll cut me down to size. Run me off. News, somebody's after you. The evidence is in your hands. Better stop and think. That boat you're in will sink. Get out while you still can. Desperately, you had me fooled behind your disguise. Everyone is critical, everything's political. Sick of choosing sides.
while you're in the book of life. What's left to pretend?
That is Plain Sight. It's relatively new music here from JoJo Foote. We have him online here. We're just playing his songs, talking about his career. And do you play out as an artist? Do you have a backing band, or what kind of scene do you do?
I don't as of yet. I mean, that's still kind of in the work. You need a body of work to really go with that's on your solo stuff. But there's talk. I mean, I do have some things. Without getting everybody's commitment just yet, I just can't really speak to it right now. Mm-hmm. But just to say that at some point in time, yeah, I'd love to get out and do some live shows with this music.
Okay.
Definitely. If there's a market for it, yeah.
Here's another song, another face that you sent us.
Okay, that song was written about my mom and my mother-in-law both passed recently from Alzheimer's. And I was sort of writing that song from the perspective of what it's like to have lose a parent like that. So basically, that's what it was. Any of the proceeds I were to make from that song, were it to be released or when it does, they all go to the Alzheimer's Association in New York. That's what it was written about. There's sort of that. That's a really horrible disease, and I'm sure a lot of people know what it's like to have a parent or go through that. And my mother died the day my mother-in-law was diagnosed. Hmm. So we went from years of one to another. It was just my way of speaking, you know, about what it's like to have a parent that goes through that. Again, that's personal perspective I want to add, but it was basically intertwining both my mother and mother-in-law into one person in the song.
Yeah, Alzheimer's touches a lot of families. My mother had it, her sister had it, and my grandmother had it. So it's just
it's
present for
many
decades.
I was thinking about it, like, if I wrote a song, she used to be this, she used to be that, and she was my mother, da-da-da-da. I wanted it to be more about what it's like as you're going through it. What is it like? You've already lost your mother, really, even though they're still alive. You can't speak to them. You can't come in. Do they even recognize you? And so in the chorus, am I just another face? Do you have any memory of me at all? Or is there any glimmer of life in your eyes that you recognize me? And when you don't, it's about the perils of that disease, what it does to the living and the caregivers, especially what it does to them. The people of Alzheimer's, like your mom or my mom and my mother-in-law, they don't know what they're going through. They're living in the moment every single minute of the day. There's no future. There's no reminiscing, which makes it very difficult to communicate with someone like that. And it rips you apart. It was devastating to my wife when her mother got it because, you know, she cried when she learned that she couldn't remember her name. That's when it hit her. She goes, I've lost my mother. And that's what I was writing the song about, a little bit of from that perspective. They're gone already, even though they're with us physically. Yeah. It's not the same, as you know, it's just not the same person anymore. And it's very difficult. You still have to care for them, and you want to care for them. You want to reach in and pull out the person they used to be, and you just can't do it. So that song kind of speaks to that.
When I got the call from a nurse in St. Paul, her voice trembling, she said, prepare your goodbyes. You don't have much time, so catch the next flight. Better hurry. Pack up your bags and get going. The questions in mind I keep asking. Bye.
makes it all worth it? Stop spinning. How about this? If I blow you a kiss, like a miracle child, a new beginning. Don't let yourself stop believing. Can you understand me? Slipping away, and you're in no mood for games any longer. Nothing seems right, but try not to fear, 'cause your baby's right here, so be stronger.
This is Radio Free Phoenix, and that's fresh music from JoJo Foote. It's called Just Another Face, about Alzheimer's, and we have him right here now. And we have another song that you sent us called Devil Chase.
Yeah, Devil Chase. That's sort of the bonus track of this little collection of mine. Actually, I wrote that a lot earlier. I recorded it more recently, but I wrote that right as the pandemic hit. And so that's strictly a pandemic song, if you will. I didn't think anybody would write about it, but now there's thousands of songs that were written with the subject, the pandemic being the subject. But I was right. Yeah. I think it was early 2020, and I was just in my studio, and I just started coming up with this really good riff. I just started, you know, singing these words, and out it came. I mean, that came out really quickly. So I wanted to record it fast because I didn't want it to lose any of its potency for the time. I've always vowed to like really record that song proper, you know, in studio with the guys and all that, but I never got around to doing it. And now it's almost like passe, it seems like. So I still might release that song as a fully mastered song, but that's what that was about. Yeah, it was just strictly a pandemic song, just a reaction to it.
Rise up out of your sleep. We'll be right back.
This is Radio Free Phoenix. We're speaking with Joe Foote, playing all his music. He's out there in California in Sonoma County. That's where the wine is, and we have him here. We've been playing his music for the whole duration of this hour. Where can somebody get your music?
Oh, and all the major platforms, you know, okay. iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. I'm on all those basic platforms. You can go to my Instagram page, too, JoJoFoote98. Whatever it is, I can't remember.
Now, do you have people who mispronounce your last name at all?
No. Not yet, anyway.
Not Footy.
JoJo Foote,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, you have another song we were talking about, a brand new song. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I just finished this one called Critical Ways. It was recorded around the same time, actually, I did Muddy River this past 6 months. But yeah, that is a song, your typical kind of like a relationship gone bad song, I guess. I had to have one of those at least in the repertoire. Yeah. That was another one, again, produced by Jeff Trott. And I really want to emphasize the fantastic keyboard player, used a Mellotron and things like that. Phil Towns, mm-hmm. out of Nashville. Phil's worked with a lot of greats. And again, too many to mention, but very creative keyboard player on that song. And again, it had Fred Elteringham on drums. He's Sheryl Crow's drummer, and he's drummed with everybody from Willie Nelson to Ringo Starr. He's played with him, Dave Grohl, all these people. So
mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's such a great guy. I got to shout out Fred because he's my buddy. He's just a wonderful guy and a great drummer and just a super cool guy to hang out with. Rob McNally on guitar on that song too. But I did the bass work and added some guitar later. Jeff Trott actually played some slide guitar on that song. That is just spectacular. Really, really great. I wanted to give a little shout out to Jeff's guitar playing. People don't often mention that since he's such this hot producer. He thinks he is. No, he's really great.
All right. Well, hey, good. We're going to close off with Critical Ways. And I think everybody can relate to a song about a relationship gone wrong, right?
Oh, yeah.
Depending on your age, sometimes very early in your life and then later on. But hey, thanks so much, Joe, for talking with us and giving your music to us, which we play several songs already. And we'll watch and listen as you blossom as an artist and see where it takes you. I wish you good luck in the future of your career.
Thanks, Danny. It was my pleasure speaking with you.
You're looking for a better way out. Sometimes the good hides the doubt. Now I have to face the consequence.
Time is up.